What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Bird, the podcasting coach here, and self-confidence is an important thing for us all to have. It's vital for feeling good about ourselves. It's vital for achieving our big goals that we set for ourselves. So that's why in this episode, we're going to focus on self-confidence. We have a guest who has been through a lot, who has had to build her confidence, and the transformation is really incredible. You'll get to hear more about it in this episode and learn how you can build your self-confidence so you can better pursue whatever it is that you're doing. So our guest who joins us, she is a multiple TEDx speaker and a burn survivor since the age of 2. 75% of her body got burned. And through that experience, initially, she struggled with her self-worth and confidence. She actually found a way, though, to go from a near-death experience to she is now a top 10 most powerful, influential speaker. She is a Fierce Woman of the Year. She's an international best-selling author, recipient of the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal and YWCA Woman of Distinction. Pretty much, she had this incredible challenge that a lot of us, like, you know, it's hard to relate. And she persevered, she built herself up, and now she is a very confident person who's been featured on national TV a few times, spreading her message. She's gone viral as well. Our guest who joins us for this episode is none other than Kelly Falardo. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Mark. I'm so excited to be on your show. I've heard nothing but amazing things about you. So thank you.
Kelly, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I mean, confidence is just one of these things that we keep going back to. I don't think it's really something that you get forever. It definitely comes and goes. And it's just a matter of being able to keep it longer when it comes and being able to reclaim it when you hit a rough patch. So I'm wondering, I mean, your whole journey just sounds really fascinating. I wonder if you could really expand on it and what it really took for you to build the confidence that you have now, because my understanding is that your circumstances led to people shunning you. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little about the confidence building in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're right. Confidence isn't something that you have and then it's there for the rest of your life. It's something that you build up. And then when you get knocked down, you find a way to build it back up. And so I got burnt when I was only 2 years old to 75% of my body. So my whole life, I was struggling with trying to fit in, trying to be beautiful, trying to be liked. And, you know, when people would shun me or when they would ignore me, how do you get through that? How do you persevere when there's so many things that are against you? Right. And, you know, being teased, being bullied, going into the hospital. I figured out that about 18 months of my life was spent in the hospital, because every second year till I was 20 years old, I'd have to go to the hospital for a whole month. And they would do some more reconstructive surgery on me to, you know, try and make me feel beautiful and give me better mobility and that sort of thing. So I always struggled with, you know, trying to fit in, trying to feel good enough, trying to, you know, have that confidence so that I could still, you know, accomplish the goals and the dreams that I have. So to me, it was extremely important to, you know, find a way to be confident so that I could be strong.
Yeah, I mean, to have that experience, like, again, going to the hospital, like, that's something that is happening to, like, it's not something that happening to adult Kelly. It's something that's happened, like, you know, at your very early years. And the early years are the ones that really, like, if you want to look at, like, you know, why you have a problem in something, why you don't feel confident, why you are maybe shy or why whatever, a lot of that can really be traced to stuff that happened when you were, like, 4 and you didn't really think of it at the time, but it had an imprint on you, had an impression, and you've had it for your whole life. And I feel like that root stuff is so hard for people to overcome. Especially, like, I mean, in your scenario, it's recurring, it's happening from a young age. How did you change some of the beliefs you had? Because it's hard for me to be visiting the hospital that many times at your age at the time. could really have that, you know, lifelong impact. So how do you not let something like that have a lifelong impact on you?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of it boiled down to a great lesson that my stepdad taught me. And, you know, in our society today, we tend to get involved in everything. You know, in social media, when people say something bad about us, we take it to heart and we get very upset about it. And the lesson that I think that my stepdad taught me was how to ignore people. Mm-hmm. How do you ignore the comments? And I know it's hard because, you know, when we're on social media and we read that comment, oh, you're so stupid, or you're ugly, or who's going to listen to you? And who are you to think that you're all that? We take that stuff really, really personally, and we take it to heart. And what happens is we tend to focus on those negative things versus the positive things. Like, how many times have we been called beautiful or smart or successful or incredible? And yet when we hear those things, we tend to dismiss them. And we tend to think, oh, those things don't count. What counts is when people are telling us that we're stupid or ugly or not good enough. And we tend to place more weight on all of that stuff. And that is the stuff that's the hardest to get over. So throughout my lifetime, I realized that what my stepdad was teaching me was how to ignore people and how to ignore those negative comments. And there were times when my stepdad would tell me that I wasn't good enough or I wasn't smart enough or why are you doing something so stupid? And, or, you know, one of the biggest memories I have of him is when I was in 4-H and I won the most improved first year member. Plus, I also won the speaker category too. And when I came home and I told him what I won the most improved first year member. He said, well, he said, you didn't deserve that. And I was like, oh, well, if I didn't, who did? And he goes, I don't know, but it certainly wasn't you.
Wow.
And so it was all about deserving. And so I was really upset that he felt I didn't deserve that award. But to him, I didn't meet his standards. His standards was being a workaholic. And I wasn't a workaholic. I think I'm more of a workaholic now. But that's the whole thing. We think that people have a standard for us. And if we don't meet it, we're not good enough. And so I had to realize that I didn't have to live up to his standards. I could live up to my standards. And so I learned that I didn't have to live up to his standards. And I learned to tune out all the teasing and the bullying and the shunning and all that was happening to me. I tuned it out and learned how to ignore it so that I could still move through in my life.
I really love that insight about living up to standards, because I do feel like, you know, you've got people who, you know, you feel like you've accomplished something really great on your standards, and then someone else has different standards and you didn't really accomplish anything based on their standards. And it's important, as Kelly mentions, like, live to your standards. Don't live to the standards of someone else. And I feel like that's a very powerful message. I mean, we still have a lot of room in this conversation, but I feel like if that there's one message you get, that's definitely going to be one of the big ones you should definitely take away from this episode. I do feel like I want to explore this more, because I do feel like there are people who kind of feel like they have to, like, in some cases you do have to attain a standard. Like, I know you ditched your job and we could talk about that later, but, you know, for a job, like, you could have like a quota or like a certain standard that you have to hit to keep your job. Or in like my whole thing is like Boston Marathon. Like, that's the thing I want to go for. You have to hit a certain time, a certain standard. So how do you, like, live in a world of, like, external standards where, you know, it's not just, like, so-and-so, like, neighbor had standard for you. It's, like, you have to hit the standard or you don't qualify. You have to hit the standard or you get fired. How do we have these external standards and still, like, set our own standards and still not let the external standards, like, make us feel inadequate if we don't hit them?
Well, you know, I guess what it boils down to is it's great to have a standard. It's great to have a goal. But a lot of times what happens is, especially, I don't know about you, Mark, but I know that there's times when I believe I'm an overachiever. So what happens with me is that I will set a standard. For example, we were trying to pre-sell 100 books of my last Still Beautiful book. And we reached a goal. And immediately I said, great, We hit the 100. Let's go for 130 now. And I immediately went up higher, wouldn't even allow myself to celebrate the fact that we met our goal. And so I think that the thing is that it's great to set the standard, have the goal, celebrate it though, because then at least you can feel good about it in your heart, your soul, you know, that cellular memory, all of that stuff. At least if you're going to celebrate it, it's going to be something great for you. And you're still going to see that you've achieved something.
Yeah, that's deep, because I feel like so many people relate to that. I feel like the book example, I've written a lot of books, so I can relate. It's like when you hit a milestone, it's like, I didn't set a high enough target for myself because I already achieved this one. So I should raise the target so it's actually worthwhile if I accomplish it. And that may not be the word for word thought that goes in your head, but it is something like, you know, I already hit this goal of 100. I set too low of a goal for myself. I need to raise it higher. And then you fall into a trap of, you know, you hit 130 sales, let's do 150. You hit 150 sales, let's do 200. And Kelly brings up this great point of celebration, because it's people who like constantly raise their goals, constantly overachieve. You know, it's great to overachieve, but you have the issue where there's no celebration. And then it's like, you set the original goal of 100, you raise to 130, you raise to 150, you're at 140. And that's where you just stop at that point. And you're like, I didn't hit 150. I didn't hit my goal. And I feel like that's a lot of the issue that really chips away at self-confidence and celebration. I mean, how do we celebrate though without over-celebrating? Like, how do we like maybe give ourselves that acknowledgement without carrying it over and not raising our standard?
Well, you know, for me, sometimes it might mean, you know, going and have a drink with a girlfriend, right? It might mean going and celebrating by doing a happy dance, right? Like, my kids know when I'm celebrating something, when I've achieved a goal that I want, you know, I'll be dancing around doing a little happy dance and, you know, so excited, because it's also physical, right? Like, you want to have that physical emotion too, right? It could mean having a small little party with all your people that you are part of the team, right? Or it could mean going on a holiday, right? Like, it could be as small or it can be as big as you want it to be. It could mean, you know, sometimes I celebrate just by allowing myself to, you know, go on social media and just play a game, or, you know, do something fun. Or maybe it means, you know, going and painting. I love painting. One of my paintings is in the background.
That's a nice painting.
So yeah, so that's how I'll celebrate, by giving myself some creative time. So it's all about doing whatever is going to bring you joy.
I love the message. And I mean, being able to celebrate in different ways. I mean, like when you do the painting, I mean, that's tapping into your creative brain. When you hang out with a friend, that's the relationship building. So like, you're using your breaks productively, and you're, even when it's just like playing a social media game, like as long as you're not overdoing it, like, you know, you've got video game addiction, but you know, like playing like just for like 15 minutes just to like celebrate your success is going to be, you know, you're acknowledging that you're doing good rather than just, okay, I hit this, let's just hit this next thing. I don't really care that I hit this goal, and you just move on. Now, you do have people who will say, though, you could be using that 30 minutes to do something else. You could be growing your email list. You could be posting on social media. And there is a guilt factor associated. Like, some people have this guilt factor, this feeling like, I can't move away from my work. I have to keep doing it, or else I don't feel good or about it. So how can we not feel guilty about taking some time off to just acknowledge ourselves and give ourselves like that break, that pat on the back that we do deserve?
Right. And, you know, I believe most people in this world are overachievers. I really do. I do believe that, you know, a lot of people, especially in the internet world, especially, you know, people that you're followers, they're all about wanting to be a success. So I believe that we already overachieve and already spend way more time working than we really need to. So it's all about, you know what, just be gentle with yourself and just allow yourself to have that little bit of a celebration, even if it's only 5 minutes, right? It doesn't matter. You just have to acknowledge that you are going to celebrate this milestone that you gave yourself. And, you know, maybe spend an extra 5 minutes or 15 minutes, another part of your day, working maybe a little bit longer or a little bit harder. But your body and your heart and your soul need to know that you're going to recognize yourself and celebrate.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, we bring up celebration a few times. It is key for us to do that. Because a lot of people, they just really skip that step. And then they're wondering, why do I feel so horrible about myself? I'm failing on all these fronts, but you're really succeeding to get to that point where, you know, it's just the next thing you got to overcome. It's your next learning experience. It's your next hurdle. And you only get to that next hurdle by accomplishing all the other stuff that led you to that hurdle. Now, one of the things that I also feel like hurts people's self-confidence is when they feel like their work and what they're doing is not aligned to what they truly want. And I do feel like this happens to so many people. You have the scenario of like the person who wants to be a singer, whatever, actor, and they're just doing other jobs to pay rent, stuff like that. And they feel like they're doing this thing they're not passionate about for the sake of making money, which, you know, you do need to make money like to pay different stuff. But then people get stuck at a job for like some cases, like 30, 40, 50, 60 years, I feel like even, that they don't like, and then they're not able to follow their passion. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how you were able to, because I know you left your full-time job to follow your passion of speaking. So I'm wondering how that happened and what the transition was like.
How that happened? Oh my God. That's a crazy story, because I was actually married for 24 years. And at that point, it was our 24th year together, and it was our anniversary. And so we went to bed and he fell asleep. I could hear him snoring. So I went to the bathroom and I was bawling my eyes out. And I said to myself, you've done 24 years like this and you're only 44. Can you do another 24? And I said, no way, help me out. And so what I didn't realize is that I was talking to my higher power. And it was my higher power that was asking me that question. Can you keep doing that? And so I said, no, I can't. So anyways, I ended up leaving my marriage. At that point, I had a job and I was already a speaker. And so 4 months later, my boss came to me and she says to me, you know what? She said, you are not doing very well here. You had the worst performance review ever. And she said, you've got to ask yourself this one question. Are you going to be excited to come to work on Monday? Or are you going to be relieved if you don't have to come to work on Monday? And that question hit me right to my core, because I knew I wanted to be a speaker full time, but I was so scared. I had just left my marriage 4 months earlier. Mm. Here I am living in my aunt's house in a basement. And now my job is giving me the boot also. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? Right? Like, how am I going to be a speaker full time and be an author? And I was on my second book and all these crazy things were happening to me. I'm like, I don't know how the heck I'm going to do it. But I felt like she was like the mother bird who was kicking me out of the nest. And you know, when the baby bird goes out of the nest, does the baby bird hit the bottom? No, the baby bird goes down a bit, but always comes back and learns to fly. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is her kicking me out of the nest and getting me to go and be the person I needed to be. And I'll tell you what, when I became that speaker and the author, it was magical, because all of a sudden, all these things were happening to me that I never ever thought would happen. You know, winning all the awards, the Fierce Woman, the Medal from the Queen, the YWCA Woman of Distinction, I'm a 5-time best-selling author, I have a documentary about my life story. All of that stuff happened because, exactly like you said, Mark, I became in alignment with who I am, what my purpose is, what my passion is, all of that. And it all happened. And when it happened, that's when I started succeeding in life. I was not succeeding in life before I became in alignment.
And it's interesting how, I mean, you have this burning of the boats analogy, and it's not something everyone does. And some people really delay or really try not to do that until they feel like they are absolutely ready. But in Kelly's case, she got a wake-up call from her boss, and she knew that, you know, she wanted to commit to the speaking. And I do feel like there are people who they are not sure when to commit. They are not sure if committing even is the right option. So can you talk about how you go through the divorce, you go through your whole situation, you're at this low point, and then being able to find the commitment to pursue your speaking and quit your job with everything else going on? How'd you find that commitment and stick with it?
Well, one of the first things I did is I got a mentor involved. So I had a couple of different mentors. So mentors that were involved in the speaking business. I had mentors that were authors. And whenever I was feeling unsure about what I should do in my life, I went to them. And I said, look, this isn't working for me. How can I make this work? And they would give me their advice. I mean, I had another mentor. His name is Jack Zufelt. And he charges like $20,000 to coach with him. And so we connected on Facebook. And he said to me, look, I will coach you. I will give you some feedback and help you, because what if your story could help one person, right? What if? And he said, I want to be able to help you, because I know you've got a very powerful story and you need to get it out there. And so that was one of the big things that I did, is I got mentors involved, because they are the expert. They know what you need to know in order to accomplish your goal, and they can help you do it faster. Right? I mean, you know yourself, like becoming a best-selling author, you can do it the hard way or you can do it the easy way.
Yeah.
And that's up to you which way you want to do it. So when you get people involved that help you, they can help you and move you forward quicker.
Yeah. I mean, mentorship's really important. You could just Google all the answers, like whether it's like how to become a best-selling author or podcasting or being a speaker or publicity, you could just Google all the answers, but having a mentor is like, you know, like Mark, do this, or like Kelly, this is an opportunity for improvement. Like, it's directed to you. And that's the big difference of mentorship and the accountability. So I think anyone who's on the fence about mentorship, whether it's a coach or a Facebook group like the Breakthrough Success Group, there's plenty of opportunities for mentorship that can really elevate you to the next level.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you 100%.
And I mean, mentorship, that also gives you like extra self-confidence, because you are making an investment in yourself and you are surrounding yourself with people who will help you like be a better speaker and pursue the different things you want to pursue. I know you've surrounded yourself with like-minded people. I'm wondering how you were able to build that network of people, because who we surround ourselves with is just as important as like standards we set for ourselves and everything else that we do. Like, who we surround ourselves with is very important.
Absolutely. And you know, in today's age with the internet, we have so many more tools that are available to us for free. You know, like we can go on YouTube and we can Google our favorite speakers who are experts in our topics and have instant access to millions of people that can help us. And I think that's the beautiful thing about growing up in this digital world, is that we have instant access to almost anything.
Yep.
Almost anything. You know, like, I know when I was starting out business way back, you know, when I was married with my husband, you know, we didn't have the internet. And so we would have to find other ways to market ourselves. And I can tell you, like, I have made so much money on Facebook just by building my tribe and telling people what I'm doing and doing Facebook Live videos. And that's how people find out, you know, so they can hire me, whether it be a coach or whether it be a speaker or, you know, books or whatever that may be. We are so fortunate that we have so many free resources at our fingertips and ways to market for free.
Yeah, I mean, with digital, I mean, digital's really been a great equalizer. I mean, it's allowed me to start my blog at 11 and do podcasting before getting out of college. I mean, there's just so, like, digital is such a great equalizer. I'll say it again and again, because it just gives you really the world at your fingertips, and it's just a matter of how you harness it.
Absolutely. You know, and people, like, whoever we want to have access to, guaranteed they're going to be on social media. Yeah. And we can connect with them. You know, Richard Branson, Gary Vee, for example. You know, I found out he's coming to my own city, and my son absolutely loves Gary Vee, and so I'm so excited that he's going to be able to.
Oh, he's fun. I've seen him once. He's really fun. It's going to be great.
Is he? Oh, so yeah. That's so cool. Cool. I haven't met him in person or anything, or been able to hear him speak, but other than on videos. So.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, the video, like, just based on when I was there, like, if you see him on video, like, that's sort of similar to, like, the style of the talk that he gives. Like, he hits on a whole bunch of different points, and you're scrambling to write notes, and it's a really different kind of experience.
Is it? Oh, that's sweet. I know my son's only 16, and he just can't
wait. That's a great age. That's a great age to be thinking this way.
I know, exactly. I'm loving the fact that, you know, he's looking to mentors who are successful to be his mentor. So it's pretty cool.
And I do want to hit on one thing, though, because, I mean, you did bring up, like, a point came to me where you talked about your stepdad and how you come home with this, like, award, and he's like, you know, not good enough based on my standards. And now here you are with your son. He's 16. You're really helping him with I obviously don't know the whole story, but you're helping him with entrepreneurship. You're helping him with Gary Vee. Some kids, they mimic the parent or whoever their parent figure is. And it seems like you've taken a different path based on, like, the story you gave. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what helped you take that different path versus being a similar way and saying, you know, like, to your son, like, you know, like, you have your standards that you think are good. I have my higher standards for you. So I'm wondering how you're able to deviate and create your own course.
Well, you know what? It started probably about 10 or 11 years ago when I was married and my ex-husband got laid off from his job. And he said to me, it's time for you to step up to the plate. And he was off work for about 9 months. The boys, my twin boys, well, my daughter was 12 and my twin boys were like eight. No. They were quite a bit younger. They were 8 and 4 because the twins hadn't even gone to school yet. And I just said, okay, fine. Watch me. I will step up to the plate. And that was when I got my job. I started my business. And then eventually, you know, I decided to be a speaker. But it all boiled down to I had to. You know, it's because I was now going to be a single mom and I was the one that left my husband. So I was the one that had to step up and I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? So a lot of it was out of necessity, but a lot of it was also because I enjoyed it. I enjoy, you know, raising money to do a documentary about my life story. I mean, I enjoyed doing that whole process, writing the book proposal, and then pitching it to a broadcaster and then them saying yes, and then actually creating it and watching it. And when I look back at how everything happens, I'm just like fascinated by how the universe brings things into our lives, or they give us signs about different things that we should do. For example, I wanted to meet my two favorite authors, which was Wayne Dyer and Doreen Virtue. And then sure enough, on Facebook, there was a contest because Hay House was doing a conference and Wayne Dyer and Doreen Virtue were the speakers. And I said to myself, okay, I get it. They are going to be in Maui speaking at this conference. Awesome. Show me the money. And so again, I'm asking my higher power, show me the money, because I didn't have the money at the time. Mm. And sure enough, within a week, I got a track. And it was for a speaking gig that I did, and I thought it was only going to be paid like $100 or $200. Well, the check was for $1,500. And I was like, oh my gosh, I asked the universe to show me the money. And sure enough, here's enough money to pay for the conference, the flight, the hotel, everything. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do it. And I did it. And that was the kickoff to me writing the book proposal, which led to my documentary. And so for me, it's all about listening to the universe and listening to the signs and paying attention to what we're manifesting. And so I love that I'm able to take this course of action and move forward, because I think it's just an incredible journey. And I love that my kids have seen all of this happen. So they saw me win the award. They saw me, you know, doing the documentary. They've seen me struggle. I mean, they've seen me cry. You know, like, I'm not ashamed to cry in front of my kids. They need to know life isn't easy and that it's all rosy and everything. They need to know that, you know, we're going to have challenges. And it's all about how are we going to persevere through those challenges. That's what life is all about.
I mean, that's just some really deep insight. I mean, you step up to the plate, you feel like your back is at a wall. Instead of cracking, you really show up and you just go on a whole new level. And I feel like you do have to, I don't feel like you have to intentionally put yourself where you have your back on the wall and you do that to yourself. But when you are in that situation, that's the opportunity for you to really show up, really put in the work and get this kind of transformation that Kelly's been able to achieve in her life. And if you guys want to follow Kelly more on her journey, more on her transformation, how you can boost your self-confidence, we will be throwing links in the show notes. So Kelly, you want to just share with us some good places we could find you and all that fun stuff?
Absolutely. Well, I'm all over on Facebook and everything. And I know that my name is really hard to spell. So what I have a free gift for all your listeners. So what they can do is they can go and they can text the word Mark to this number. So 1-877-414-1768. And if they text to that number, they will get the Perseverance Toolkit that I have for free. So it's a free little bonus that I'm happy to give to everybody. And that is my 10 tools that I use to persevere through life. And when you persevere, it also helps you to develop your confidence more too, right? So you can find me there. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram. I am kellyf.stillbeautiful. So this is, you can see my shirt that says Still Beautiful. That is the name of my documentary. So
Still Beautiful.
Yeah, so Still Beautiful. And so that's where I'm. Or they can go right to my website, which is kellyfalardo.com. That's kellyfalardeau.com. Or to make it easy, just text this number, the word Mark, because Mark is so special. Right, Mark?
Yeah, Mark with a C. Make sure for people who are tuning in, that is with a C, because I do get K sometimes, and you obviously, you want to make sure you get your Perseverance Toolkit. Again, the number is 1-877-414-1768. All the info will be in the show notes for links and all that good stuff. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure having you on the show.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me, Mark.